And welcome back. As promised, I have a special guest on this week. So please help me in welcoming my dear friend, Pedro, to Crystal Ball, Clarity of It All. Welcome, Pedro.
Hey, Crystal. Thank you for having me. Oh, my God. It's a great pleasure and honor to be finally, after so many, you know, hiccups that we've gone through, to be on the show with you. This is awesome.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And you know, I'm always good for a story. So I showed up on this Clubhouse app, lo and behold, and it was actually Pedro, it was your room. Do you know this? You have like the longest standing room that Crystal Fox was in. I was really? Down below, nervous Nelly, down below being like, oh my gosh, these experts, like I'm around people who know what the hell they're doing. And I did not. I knew how to hook up my mic. I knew how to press record and I know how to talk sometimes. But in your room, I learned so much. And then honestly, you guys had started to create such a community and I couldn't leave. Every single morning, I was like, Marcus, hold on. I gotta speak next. So like the whole house has to shut down for those moments, you know, especially like 3 minutes leading up to. So I have to say, even before you knew me, I knew you and I loved everything that you were doing in creating the community. And my favorite part is in May, we were celebrating mental health awareness and you were making sure we all had our green frames around our head. And then you were speaking, and I'm not used to many males speaking about mental health. And you were really opening that platform and creating that space for all of us really to discuss how important it was for mental health. And that's when I was like, oh, one day I'm going to have him on this podcast. And we were in one of our friends' rooms. And I think it was like, shoot your shot. And I messaged you and I was like, will you just come on my podcast? Like, come share your story. You know, I know that you're a busy guy, especially traveling the world, but that is how I met Pedro. And it's been such a good relationship too. So I always like to share a good story. But every time I see your face, I just think about those green rings and like all of our green hearts and all of our hashtags for like, I think it was for like a month, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was for the month of May. Mental health awareness is one thing that I definitely am very passionate about. But I want to, you know, go back a little bit to where you said where we met. You, like you said, were down there watching, right? But I also peeped when you came into the rooms, when you would be there, because I remember it was the picture that stood out to me. It was like a caricature picture of you, you know, kind of like lean back. And I remember, I think it might have been a green, I'm a little colorblind, so like a green or teal dress or shirt or blouse or whatever it was. So I remember you coming in there and being in there consecutive days, right? And then so we were just, you know, opening up the floor, and then you finally, like you said, built the courage to come up. And you know, and it was you know, nostalgic, because again, whenever somebody comes up on stage and is able to be vulnerable and ask the questions, even though they've been listening and, you know, taking notes or, you know, just listening passively while they're getting ready, it was an honor. So Clubhouse brought great people together throughout the year of, you know, the end of 2020 and the beginning of this year, 2021. I have made a lot of friends across the globe, across the United States, that our paths probably would have never passed in between each other. But somehow, through this amazing app, the stars have aligned. And I, again, thank you for the invite. It was awesome.
Oh my goodness, yes. Seriously. And you support so many, and you don't ask for a thing. Like, you seriously don't ask for a thing. And that's what I love. But with that being said, will you go ahead and introduce yourself? Because you have so many hats that you wear.
Yeah, no, I definitely will introduce myself. I am Pedro Maciel. I am a safety professional by day, avid podcast and live stream host by night. I am also now a radio personality with my own radio online radio station. You know, I do all kinds of things. I am a mental health awareness advocate. I am a heart attack survivor and a heart attack and heart healthy advocate as well. So definitely, you know, quit smoking, do the stuff good for your heart. Yeah, I am a girl dad, whiskey sipper. I do all kinds of things. I'm a connoisseur of conversations. So that's me in a nutshell. I like to talk a lot.
No, not at all. You just have 18 microphones. What do you mean? I love that you say that you're a girl dad and you take a lot of pride in that. That was another thing when you would introduce yourself. I'm like, you don't really hear that often. It's like, oh, I got five boys, you know, I got a whole basketball team. And you're like, no, like I'm a girl dad. Because there's honestly so many guys that got up on stage and was like, me too, me mm-hmm. too.
It's one of those things that, you know, it has now, it was always, you know, I got to have a son. You know, I want a son. You know, I need the, you know, my bloodline and legacy to live on through my son. Now the times have changed, and especially me being an actual father to four beautiful daughters. My legacy will not only live on through them, but with all the impact that I'm able to make that they can then look back on and say, my dad didn't have $1 million. He wasn't about the expensive stuff. He made an impact by helping a lot of people.
Yeah, especially on a mental health spectrum, heart. Now, how old are your girls? What's the age range?
So my oldest is 16, driving, scary. Oh, oh my God. I have a 15-year-old getting ready to drive, even more scarier because she doesn't pay attention as much. She's kind of like, she's a free spirit. Not, she's a great, great kid, really, you know, A and B student, but she's, you know, squirrel. And, it, you know, she gets distracted. So kind of scary, but she's fixing to start driving. I have a 13-year-old who's in, you know, eighth grade in middle school. And then I have my baby who's a 10-year-old. So, yeah, if I don't have my hands full, I'm telling you, that's why I work away a lot of the time. Let my wife deal with the girls. But it's always a pleasure to come home and get those big warm embraces from them. So,
and technology allows so much of like the FaceTime interactions. And mm-hmm. well, you say that you're mostly away. With that being said, having your safety position, I did have one question when it came to like the construction. Do you feel like there's a lot of mental health for the industry, like to get help or to even talk therapy?
There is a lot of resources. There is a lot that is now starting to come to fruition and be out there more, but it's hard to break through in the construction industry for the simple fact that it's a very man-driven, and ladies, trust me, there's a lot of ladies that are inside the construction industry, but it is a male-driven industry with a lot of machismo and pride that I got to get shit done and I can't talk about my feelings. I have to keep those bottled up inside. And it's, you know, suicide rate. And I hate talking about this because a lot of people, I've lost a couple of brothers and sisters to suicide on the construction site, but it's on the rise and people need to wake up and understand it's okay to talk about your feelings. It's okay to be in a male-driven industry and talk about your feelings. Open up. Let somebody know what's going on. Because you keeping those things bottled up inside, it breaks you internally, emotionally. And yeah, you can, all the grunt force and, you know, sweat, blood, tears, whatever it is. But if you're broken inside, it's that much harder to climb and you definitely need to open up, reach out, you know, call me. I'll give you my number. You know, at the end of this, we'll, you know, I'll make sure everybody knows that they can reach out. They just need somebody to talk to. I'm here.
Yes. And that was another question I was going to ask too. Do you feel like the role that you play, that you deal with a lot of mental health and that you're kind of the person that has to say and kind of move that needle?
Yes. Yeah. It starts with one. You have to be very self-aware, very understanding of self. It took, in a sense, losing some of those brothers and sisters, but actually going through my own trials and tribulations to finally say enough's enough. I have to help myself break the stigma, get out of that machismo way and get vulnerable. So that way I can start to repair. I can start to rebuild myself, but then be, like you said, that person, that voice, that shoulder to cry on, that open door to come in. And if you have to yell at me for whatever reason, come yell at me, but I'm here to support and bring that awareness on a construction site.
I can see that you're about bringing people close and being there and making sure that they don't feel alone. So thank you so much for sharing, because I've really had just some curious questions about that role and obviously always wanting to bring up a topic that we can, you know, change. And so I want you to take us back to the time that you experienced your heart attack. Were you a safety man then? Like, were you on the job site?
Yeah. So my heart attack happened a year ago in June. So I
wait.
Just, yeah.
hold on. This entire time, I'm thinking like years ago, Pedro. I did not know that a year ago you had a heart attack. Hmm? Oh my gosh. Okay.
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it was actually, it was a year ago, June 14th, 18th, something. It was kind of blurry, but yeah, it was last year. You know, the pandemic hit and you know, everything started to go on lockdown in March. In the construction industry, we weren't feeling it as much. There were some protocols we had to, you know, abide by. But then, you know, towards the summer, stuff started to kind of open up. And, you know, I wanted to go kayaking. I had been kayaking when I lived in Virginia. So I wanted to take, you know, the kids, wife, the dogs, all on a kayaking trip. Lo and behold, the river that we were kayaking was not as full as we expected. So there was a lot of portaging, which means you have to pull your kayak over rocks, through a little bit of mud because it wasn't a lot of water flow, some low areas. Well, my wife ended up flipping out of her kayak. She got hit in the head with her kayak and kind of had, you know, concussed a little bit. The sun was beating down. It was supposed to be a 3-hour trip. It took us about 5 hours to get to the takeout point. The kids were, you know, were being troopers as much as they possibly could, but then we're dealing with the dogs and then up and down and pulling. And so me, my mindset, you know, being prior military was, I got to get them to safety. Being a safety guy, I have to get them to the takeout point. We have to make it as a group, as a unit. So, you know, I went kind of back to my naval training on working together. My oldest, she had been kayaking with me previously when we went to in Virginia. So she, you know, took charge of her younger sisters. She had a dog as well. I had a dog. I had, you know, rigged my wife's kayak to mine, and I was pulling my wife along with my kayak. And it's just go, go, go. Let's, you know, let's keep moving. We got to keep moving, because if we stop, we're not going to ever get out of here and we're going to be stuck. So got them to the takeout point. Everybody was good. We were all beat up, lost some Crocs in the river, couldn't find. Yeah, it was a disaster. So we got to the takeout point. I then unzipped my life jacket. And when I unzipped my life jacket, it was just an immense sensation, pain in my chest. And, you know, in a male, what you feel, chest pain tingling down your left arm. And that's exactly what it was. But me, and again, I'm a safety professional. I know exactly what the signs are to look for. I was being stubborn. I told my wife, no, I'm good. You know, I think it's just a muscle spasm because of all the pulling and pushing. I was kind of drained. So we go to fill up the cars. We brought two cars because she was coming back to Houston. I was going to San Angelo where the project was at. So we were probably about 2 hours away, each way. So she said, are you okay? Okay. I was like, I'm fine. It's just, you know, my chest is hurting. It's just muscle spasms, nothing major. Well, I went into work the next day. Still having the, yeah, it, mind you, this is 24 hours later.
24 hours, Pedro.
So I yeah, it's crazy. So, I told my wife, once I got to the hotel, I packed up all my stuff, you know, all my stuff. And, you know, I just told her I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning. I was having chest pains. Felt some indigestion, which you end up feeling that, you know, from time to time when you're having a heart attack. And then went into work on site, did the stretch and flex, gave the safety talk, no problem. And then I got into my office, slumped in my chair. And then I was like, yeah, this doesn't feel right. Something just doesn't, I feel off. Something doesn't feel right. So I told my superintendent, hey, guess what? I'm going to drive myself to the hospital. I think I might be having a heart attack. Yeah, exactly.
You drove yourself to the hospital?
Yes. Now, mind you, that stressful day before, I was an avid smoker as well. You know, Newport 100s in a box. Anybody knows, you know, those are harsh. But I had been smoking for a very, very long time and drove myself to the hospital. My last cigarette, believe it or not, was on the way to the hospital when I was going to go get seen. So I parked the car. I walked to the hospital. You know, I had my mask on. They said, how can we help you? I said, I have really bad chest pain and tingling in my left arm. I think I'm having a heart attack. You know, and then they sat me down. As soon as they come take my vitals, they put me back out, and then they take me back to the room, hook me up to all the machines, and then all of a sudden you hear like cardiac something on the intercom, and then it's like 8 or 9 nurses come in, and they're pricking and prodding and hooking me up, and it happened fairly quickly. Within a matter of like 2 hours, they took me back. They ended up going through my wrist, my artery here in the wrist, and I could feel everything. Mind you, they gave me some good medication, but I could feel everything. So they went through my wrist, all the way up my arm, across the chest, mind you, through that artery into the backside of the heart to pull out the blockage. Halfway awake, a semi-drugged up, I see this big screen while I'm laying there on my left side, my heart beating, my insides, and you see this, you know, wire, X-ray wire going through there. I can feel everything. They pull it out, and I remember telling the nurse when they pull it out, the doctor was like, yep, there it is. I got it. Pulls it out. I was like, let me see. Can I see it? Can I keep it? They're like, you can't keep it, but we'll let you see it. And sure enough, I have a picture. I told the nurse, take a picture of it. I have a picture. It's in a small blue cup, and it's probably about a quarter inch of tissue blockage. I don't know what it was, but they took the blockage out. They ended up putting a stent inside my artery to, you know, prevent any more blockages. Bunch of medication. I just recently got off a blood thinner, and here we are in October 2021.
Wow. Everyone who's listening to this cannot see my facial expressions, but I am telling you, I am shocked. And I did not know that they would go into your arm. Yeah. And then I have to say, I got a little nauseous back there when you told us, and then across your chest, and you can feel it.
I felt every bit of it. And I don't know if it was the adrenaline that was pumping through my body that allowed me to stay up and past the medication, or if it was just they didn't give me a whole lot. They wanted me to stay awake while they were doing it to see responses. It was just they put this little band on my wrist. They inflated it, and then when they inflated it, all I felt was like a little pinch, mm-hmm. and then it like went up my arm, you know, kind of like medication, I guess. But then all I felt was it come up my arm. Like literally, if you were to see the track, and if you know the body, that artery that they, you know, it's in your arm, in your wrist, comes up the arm, right? Comes across the chest. So if they wouldn't have been able to get that, they would have went in through my carotid artery, right? Across the chest.
Oh,
so, but
goodness.
They came through here. Yeah, and it's crazy because they ended up saying that the blockage was in a place that is more commonly found in drug users. And I was like, what? That's weird.
I mean, Newports, they're again, close.
Newport 100s, yeah.
Newport
100s. And then I was, you know, taking some supplements when I was working out and stuff. So that may have, you know, probably been part of it. But yeah, you know, I was like, I don't do any kind of drugs. You can drug test me. There's no drugs whatsoever. But yeah, they were like, you're lucky you were having a massive heart attack.
Wow. And you're the safety guy, first of all. And
oh, I am the safety guy.
That is, I'm floored. I truly thought this was like years ago, like seriously 5 to 6 years ago for you. I had no idea it was just last year. That is so eye-opening in so many different ways. Now, going through this is obviously a shock. I mean, gosh, I'm still in shock by this. Like, where was your mental health going through all of this? And then when did your wife find out that this is all happening?
So I called her, you know, she had already kind of knew something was off. I was taking, you know, I was holding my chest. She kind of knew, but, you know, she had to get home. There were some groceries that she had to, you know, tend to. She put an order that were getting delivered to the house. So she wanted to make sure they were there and nobody took them. I had to get to the, you know, I was being stubborn. I had to get to work because, again, if I don't work, we don't eat. You know, it kind of started, my mental health started to break a little bit while we were on the river. You know, I kind of looked forward and kind of seen like no light at the end of the tunnel. I didn't see, you know, the other side, like there was no end to this turmoil that we were going through. But then I look at my wife, I look at the kids, and I was like, F this, we are gonna make it. We have to make it. So put mental health aside, got them to safety, and then, you know, everything happened. Once she did find out, I called her on my way to the hospital. I'm like, hey, just letting you know, I'm headed to the hospital. I think I'm having a heart attack. You already know this. I'm going to the hospital. And then it was crazy. And, you know, I never asked her how her mental health was or her state was, because she just got there and started taking care of me and what it did to her. But that day, my daughter was going through surgery.
What?
Yeah, she had a surgery that was, you know, going to be done on her foot. So my wife was dealing with that, you know, trying to figure out, you know, who was going to watch the kids while she comes up here and tends to me 5 hours away where the job site is at. So she gets up there the next day. Luckily, you know, my boss that was there, he came, he, you know, was like, hey, is there anything you need? I was like, yeah, I need my backpack that had, you know, my laptop and stuff in it so I can charge my phone, because my phone was about to die and I needed to stay in contact with my wife. She gets up there and, you know, next thing you know, she's taking care of me, making sure I have everything. And we get to the hotel, we stay a day, and then we pack up everything and then drive home, you know. So it started to kick in. My mental health started to, you know, go down and deteriorate a little bit. Not because my wife was helping, but because I felt like I was a less of a man. Like I lost a piece and I couldn't find it. But, you know, looking back now, it was always there. My wife, she was the what completed me, what helped me through it. But I told her, I am going back for that piece. I am conquering the Frio River again because I want to get that back. So
It's like on your list to accomplish since that happened.
Yeah.
Now, what does recovery look like? I mean, were you down and out for a certain amount of time? Were you limited to the things that you could do? And I mean, obviously smoking, buy new ports.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So recovery after a massive heart attack, lots of medications. I was on 2 blood thinners, a pill for my cholesterol, daily regimen of aspirin, you know, so that in itself helps the heart, helps the blood, you know, flow through a little bit easier, thins it out. I just recently, thank you God, got off of one of the blood thinners, and that one, $400 a month for a year straight for a 30-day supply.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and really coming out after I got released, I spent probably about 3 or 4 days in the hospital after they released me. They said, take it easy. I ended up taking the following weekend and a couple of days into the new week off. And then doctor, you know, said they wanted to see me. So I went back up there where the job site was at. They seen me. They said, okay, you can go back to work. Take it easy. Lots of walking. You will be out of breath. So when I had the heart attack and they actually went in, my heart tissue was inflamed. So it was hard for me to breathe. So I would, you know, every time I would take a breath, my lung would end up touching my heart, which would cause, yeah, yeah. So where
that's a thing?
Yeah. So your heart and then the muscle around it, and, you know, it was inflamed. So when I would breathe, it would kind of rub a little bit, hurt like heck. And so, you know, I'm sleeping and kind of hard sleeping. So once I got past that, I was stubborn. I wanted to get back to work. I wanted to get out there. And this is me trying to find myself, trying to find that peace that I lost that day. And, you know, I've been pushing ever since. You know, I quit cold turkey. The last cigarette that I had literally was the one I smoked on the way to the hospital. After that, I had 2 fresh packs in the car, and my wife was like, are you going to smoke those? And I was like, no, I'm done. That's it. Put them right next to the trash can as we walked into the hotel, and I have not smoked a single cigarette. I have come very close due to some of the days that have been stressful. Mm-hmm. Standing next to where somebody is smoking at, you know, you get the whiff, but I'm like, no, I can't. So I quit smoking. Definitely my eating habits changed. I was eating a lot more grain, a lot more fiber, a lot more greens, you know, broccoli, asparagus, something that, you know, vegetables. Died down on the fruit a little bit because it was high in sugar. And then they just, you know, Honey Nut Cheerios, that type of stuff, heart healthy eating. So, you know, about 2 or 3 months down the road, I would have checkups every like 3 months. And then once I hit my 6-month mark, it was, okay, I'll see you in 6 months. You're doing great. They said that the tissue on my heart didn't die. It just got stunned and it was repairing itself. So, which is a good thing. And yeah, now I go back. So I just recently got off the medication, the one blood thinner. And now I see her next year. She'll, you know, check up on me and see how everything's going. My cardiologist.
Wow. And what a shock too, just out of, you know, nowhere, you're having, you know, time with the girls and the family. And then that happens and you literally had to change your entire life. And it is not easy to quit smoking. I quit December 2019, where I truly believe that I had COVID because I could not breathe. And me and Marcus both quit cold turkey. I literally looked at him and I was like, I cannot breathe. There's like, I can't inhale. Something's wrong. And I went to the doctors and everything. It was terrible, but it's a different world having to put down, because we used to be Newport smokers too. That's why I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Menthol all the way. And it's adjustment. It's definitely an adjustment. In a mental one, just from the habit alone. It's not even the actual cigarette. Sometimes it's that breathing in and out that feels so good. So really having to change that. And then, of course, all that pressure from being the head of your house, you know, and having all the girls to worry about. And there is always that kind of feeling kind of helpless, especially when you go through something like that. And I'm glad that you really think about, even in the moment, your wife's mental health. You're like, you know, I never sat there and asked her, but she was like the piece that was holding us all together. And I think that's beautiful in so many ways, so many ways. And that you have that kind of support system, because not many people do. And I think that there is a level of just kind of coming out of it and saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to change. And gosh, I'm still shocked that this is all happening in pretty much real time. And congratulations on getting off the blood thinner, because $400, I mean, where do you even get it? And that was my other question too, was how much like your work really supported you. So having you at least walk and, you know, really put that into play and not just like, let's get them to the next place. Let's work them till we can, because there is definitely jobs. And we have always, you know, we all have that one manager that we can think of that would definitely have put us in that position. So I'm glad that you have that support around you. Now, what do you think was the moment of clarity for you? Like the thing that made you say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this.
The moment of clarity where I knew I had to slow down and, you know, enjoy life was on the river. And my daughter, believe it or not, has a picture, I think, of where I look broken, I feel broken, and I'm just contemplating how I'm going to get them to safety. Like we were, you know, she snapped a picture, she has it in black and white, and it just, you know, you can see it on my face, like, how the hell am I going to do this? But at the same time, I look at that picture and I'm like, you got them through. You finished what, you know, what you started in a sense. But yeah, no, I think right there when I, you know, took the time to feel broken, but knew that I had to be unbroken for them, for my wife and the kids, I think was my moment of clarity that just set it all apart. Aside from laying there and thinking, am I going to make it out of this massive heart attack, you know, because some people have heart attacks and they don't make it. They, you know, they have to open them and do triple bypass surgery and, you know, put stents in and, you know, dying on the operating table. I was like, holy crap. And I don't have my girls here. I don't have my wife here. Like what's going on? And I was just like, no, I can't, I cannot, I will not die today. I just kept telling myself that until my wife got there. Then I cried like a little schoolgirl, and she was there to hold me and console me.
Because you have to cry, and you also practice what you preach. Like you're like, I need to talk about it. I needed to go through my emotions. And as you sat there and say that you felt so broken in that photo, I just think about that was the time you showed the most strength. Like, even though you felt broken, you were so strong and you showed your family your strength. You showed yourself so much strength. And I think that we often don't have, you know, someone around us saying, hey, this is the moment, because we have our own feelings and stuff like that. But I just picture it in my head and I just think, you know, you really tuned into your instincts and you really had the most strength. I mean, you physically were having a heart attack moving and making sure everyone was okay. And if that doesn't say, you know, so much about you, I don't know what does. And there is clarity in the saying, I am, you know, I'm going to move forward and get through this. I appreciate it so much. You being vulnerable and sharing this.
You know, there was two things that I tell my daughters all the time. TICDA, TICDA, today I can do anything. I tell them, always remember that. And then there's two meanings to fear. You face everything and rise, or fear everything and run. So I tell them, take the face everything head on and rise above whatever life throws at you. And I would tell them that. And then they ended up telling me that when I had my heart attack. It was great to hear it from them. Hey, Dad, you're going to be okay. You're going to make it through, you know. And then my oldest, she's a little asshole sometimes and smart ass, but she was like, get up, old man. Come on. You can't use the heart attack thing forever. You got to get better. Let's go. Come on. So, no, I truly, you know, am blessed. And that's why I'm very passionate, one, about the mental health. You know, I still have some unfinished business that I have to take care of in regards to that. But, you know, I have started the process of mending myself, finding myself, you know, talking to my wife on how it affected her and how can I help her and her mental health. You know, what does she need from me? So it's definitely, you know, selfish in a sense, but selfless at the same time. So that way I can be 100% me for them again.
Yes. That was so beautiful. That was so beautiful. And I love how you talk about fear. Fear sometimes just has to come with us when we're dealing with stuff. If not, we'll end up under our bed afraid of monsters. And there's a lot of monsters to deal with in this world, that's for sure. And I love that the same advice you received back from those girls that you were instilling all that strength in. I started getting a little teary-eyed. I'm not even going to lie. That really warmed my heart. But I see that you're on this path. And I did not realize, you know, because you truly never understand what someone is going through. And I would love to do another episode next year on a recap of what that looks like for you. Because I want to see the photo of you going back and kayaking and just to hear about what has transformed. Because the topic, when you start, especially like I've been talking with my spouse on my mental health journey for, you know, probably about 8 months, if not longer, really deep diving in. And it just kind of gets those wheels going to start moving in the direction that you two want to go in. And I love that you care about her. And I am someone who says you have to put yourself first because you control this. Like you control you.
Yeah.
Tell your daughter, I want to see it.
I will definitely get it and make it my clubhouse photo. And that might not do it justice. I might throw it up on Instagram, but definitely. And yeah, I will definitely be back next year on the recap episode.
Yes.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Because you have a lot of stuff going on. So outside of where you're doing this kayaking thing and we're going to be following you and we're going to be looking for that photo and I'll share it on the Instagram as well. But what are other things that you're doing that you're like, this is the bucket list. These are the things I want to do that will fill my cup.
So I recently started sending my wife hints and Amazon carts on going backpacking. And she was like, this is not going to happen again. With the Frio and brought that up, but she was like, definitely we can do some hiking, starting the backpacking. I want to do the Appalachian Trail and the Pacific Crest Trail. So definitely two sides of the United States. I want to do those. When? I don't know. I want to get my foot into backpacking first. But stuff that I'm working on, the podcast, I'm trying to get a workshop going on podcasting for beginners. That incorporates live streaming and the video aspect and kind of, you know, just incorporating everything at a very basic level, but give you the tools to make it like you're at expert level, right? You start off, but the outcome is expert level stuff that you're putting out. The radio station, like, you know, we talked about earlier, got the online radio station, still trying to figure my way in and out of how to properly DJ. I'm picking that up and getting the actual turntables, you know, so that way I can learn how to scratch.
Okay.
And yeah, just continuing to support all the podcasters and live streamers out there, content creators and community over on Clubhouse.
Yeah. When should we look for a potential course or workshop?
I want to have it out by January. So working diligently. Yeah, I got a cruise coming up in November, so I'm in, you know, get rid of dad bod and kind of get on cruise bod mode, but definitely working behind the scenes, trying to get that together at least by January 31.
Okay. And first of all, dad bods are in, so get with 2021. And then everyone, seriously, look out in January. Go over and follow Pedro, because I'm telling you, he has taught me so much where I was like your basic girl. So he is someone who I recommend that if you too are looking to start a podcast, which everyone I feel like should have a podcast, don't you?
Yes. Yes. Podcasts, live stream, content in general, just put it out there.
Where can everyone go and follow you at?
Two websites. And you can reach all my socials there. The first one is thexfactorofsafety.com. That is my safety podcast. And then over on the radio station, xfactorfm.com. Kind of keeping it the same, X Factor. But yeah, those two places, have all my socials on there. You can find me in both places. You can send me emails there and reach out. And then, you know, connect with me on the social medias. And I'm there.
Boom. Well, I'm going to make sure that by January 31st, that workshop is up, because I'm going to be sharing it with everyone listening. And I want to tell everyone, go over, follow Pedro, look at what's going on. And he's going to post that photo that we're talking about, which is going to be so inspiring. And we are going to watch him go backpacking as well. While you're at it, go over, follow, like, subscribe, push the buttons and do the things over at Crystal Ball Clarity of It All. And I will see you next Monday with a brand new episode and a brand new guest. Goodbye.